listeners, welcome to Bigfoot and Bob. I'm Layla, your host.
And I'm Ryan.
Or your other host.
I'm the personality host.
Is that right? You're the personality.
I'm the hostest with the mostest compensation for his flaws.
Jeez, way to start with the energy there, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this episode we're talking about dogs. We're talking about wolves. We're talking about werewolves.
Ow!
Ow! It's Year of the Dog, which is, incidentally, the year I was born in, 1994, baby. God, I'm going to be 24 years old. Oh, that's so old.
Oh, you're so old. Oh, I'm so sorry. Old.
Ugh. Well, at least I'm not as old as you.
It's true. Ready to wither away at any moment.
Speaking of old things,
mm-hmm.
since we're talking about wolves and dogs in horror, I was looking back at some of my favorite old movies, and as far as I can see, the first wolf in cinema was the French Little Red Riding Hood and the Wolf in 1901 by everyone's favorite filmmaker, Méliès. He's the one who did the Rocket to the Moon, you know? That film where they slammed the
first sci-fi film.
Yeah. He did a shit ton of other stuff. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. But he also, as far as I can tell, did the first Cinema Wolf. If I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will correct me. But I think that's right. There is a downside to having dogs and wolves in horror, of course, which we'll touch on briefly because this is supposed to be a funny show, or, well, one of us is funny.
We'll let you guess which.
There are some harmful myths around dogs and wolves as far as horror goes, and it sure doesn't help to have them as the villains in many of the pieces. One of those is, you know, Jaws, how that caused so many people to go out and kill sharks.
A bunch of dogs, yeah. No? Were they not? It was dog in the water.
We're going to need a bigger
kennel?
Kennel.
I get what you mean, though. So Jaws was really, really bad PR for sharks.
Pretty much the worst. The author regretted that for the rest of his life and tried to change it, but not much you can do about that once it's stuck in the public's imagination. And a lot of films, not nearly to the same level that Jaws did, but it can affect the way people view dogs especially. Like, you know, the whole Cujo image of a vicious, rabid dog attacking people. It's not great. A lot of people are already scared of dogs, and while there is therapy for those kinds of phobias, it's not helpful to have them, you know, be monsters. And as far as harmful myths that the creator tried to take back later, there's that whole alpha dog and alpha wolf thing. You know, the whole idea of the pack structure as a hierarchy, the idea that wolves live in these strict packs and you have to have an alpha and a beta and omega. That's all wrong. And the guy who authored the book, putting forth that idea in the 40s, by the way, and it was a study on only two packs of wolves in captivity, so not the best study.
Yeah, pretty small sample size.
Yeah, no kidding. He set forth that theory, and it's been long since proven wrong, but people still have this idea in their head of an alpha male, and it also harms a lot of dogs as far as training them goes, because being the dominant alpha to your dog doesn't actually do anything, because that's not how they live.
Yeah, and so I have some personal experience with this. In high school, I was really into D&D, so I have a lot mm-hmm. of experience being an alpha male.
You were really into D&D. You're not still into
definitely
it.
Not still. I definitely do not still.
Yeah, you grew out of your whole Hawaiian shirts and cowboy boots and ska phase.
Grew out of all of it, for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I am so glad I didn't know you in high school. I probably would have bullied you.
To be fair, I didn't know me in high school, so.
Jesus.
What about werewolves specifically, though?
Oh, I love talking about werewolves. They're my favorite monster. I mean, I know they're one of the three most prevalent horror monsters, and I'm fine with that because I love werewolves.
Ugh. I think they fall into that area where they're one of those things that, since they've been done so much, when they're done really well, it stands out and you remember. Like with vampires or with zombies.
I knew you were going to say zombies. I like to lump them in with the big three, that universal horror cycle that was the Mummy, Frankenstein. Well, I guess four if you count the Mummy, but Frankenstein, Dracula, and werewolves.
The Wolfman, as Universal called
him. The Wolfman. Yes, I know.
I'm waiting for Invisible Man fever.
Oh, that actually.
I want a rash of gritty reboots of The Invisible Man.
I'm going to trim that in editing so it just has you saying, I want a rash.
I already have a rash. So what are some of your favorite werewolf media? Like, what really stands out of all time?
Where do I start? Well, one of my favorite urban fantasy book series is The Hollows by Kim Harrison, I believe.
What is it about?
It's about a sort of, I guess, like detective almost. They call them runners in the book. Her name is Rachel, and she's a witch. And her roommate is a bisexual vampire named Ivy. And they have another roommate who's a pixie named Jenks. But there are a lot of werewolves in that series, and they're pretty fantastic. Because the main werewolf character is an insurance adjuster named David.
Oh my god, that's fascinating.
Shut up. Anyway, I also love, you know, classics like The Wolfman, even though I hate the makeup because he doesn't have a snout. And if they don't have snouts, who cares? I like the movie Ginger Snaps. My best friend showed it to me. She forgot to warn me that there are dead dogs at the beginning, which always really upsets me.
Yeah, we have a rule here at Bigfoot and Bob, and it's a specific spoiler warning relating to dead dogs.
Yeah, like you made me watch American Psycho, and there was that part.
That's true, I didn't tell you. But then you made me watch.
I don't.
Well, you sprung a dead dog on me, so we're even.
I don't think that happened.
I think it
was. Was it All Dogs Go to Heaven?
It was not All Dogs Go to Heaven. Okay, so speaking of dogs in cinema, All Dogs Go to Heaven is a timeless masterpiece that will forever be in my heart.
Charlie does have a halo, like, on the cover.
Yeah.
So I think that...
Yeah, you know that one going in. But wow, that movie sticks with you. Especially as a child, that movie was scary.
I don't think so.
Well, okay, but you were a child without a heart.
Shut up. I'm the real monster here.
The real monster.
That's what the podcast is building up to. I'm a real ass monster.
Ah.
Ah, real Layla's.
You know what classic werewolf movie I had never seen until this week?
Yes, I do, because we watched it together.
Yes. Is Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf.
The
so
epic, the 80s epic starring Michael J. Fox as a high school nerd. I mean, he's not a nerd.
No, he's
but
just
he's
a
just,
guy.
He's
average.
Kind of uncool, I think.
No, he's just mad because he's average. That's what he has this whole speech at the beginning. He's like, how can I not be so average?
Well, he gets his wish granted. And he discovers that he's a werewolf, much like his family, and there's this excellent shot. So they have a pretty good, if 80s corny, werewolf transformation, and his dad is like outside the door saying, you know,
open
what's
this
wrong?
Door
open
right
the
now.
Door. And he's like, nothing, it's fine. And then he opens the door to reveal that he's a werewolf to his dad. His dad is standing there, and his dad is a werewolf. He's got the fur and the fangs. And it's one of the best comedic moments I've seen in a movie in a very long time.
This movie was bad and corny and cheesy, but it was also, like, really engaging. And it had me jumping up and down at times going, yeah, yeah, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The thing that really struck me, okay, is from day two, he is out as a werewolf.
Yeah.
His
dad's like, God damn it, I've been keeping this secret for like 40 years.
He's got this like decades long rivalry or you know,
this very Lupin and Snape back and forth
with, yeah, with the
kid's
with
vice
the,
principal.
With the vice principal, and then this
Rusty
kid finds
Thorne,
out. Rusty
by the way.
Thorne!
That's up with there with Van Helsing.
And then Michael J. Fox finds out that he's a werewolf, and immediately he's like, oh man, I can be cool with this. So he plays basketball like a Harlem Globetrotter, and he's got all this attention, and he's like giving out signed headshots, and his best friend has a merch store, and he sells t-shirts
and
crap.
By the way, his best friend steals the show.
Yeah, absolutely excellent performance there.
And I know since we're talking about Teen Wolf, there has been a TV remake fairly recently. I haven't seen it, and I didn't have time to watch any of it, but, you know, I've seen it floating around when it was really popular, and it looks a lot different, but fairly good as far as I can tell.
Well, I'm certain that it's piggybacking off the success of Teen Wolf 2.
What?
Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O. They made a sequel.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Oh, my
Michael
God.
J. Fox is not in it. It's a different
dude. Oh, well,
dude.
Then why fucking bother? I only watch Michael J. Fox content. I only read books that have been endorsed by Michael J. Fox. Okay, so we've established that not all werewolves are bad guys, obviously. I mean, apart from the really sexy werewolves that people are like, you know, sexy werewolves.
Yeah, show of hands, anybody seen Twilight?
Apart from Twilight, there are a lot more sexy werewolves. Like, there are people out there like Lauren, is it Lauren K. Hamilton? But she writes, you know, that horror and spooky erotica. That actually started out with a plot, but the later books just devolved into her having, like, orgies with were-panthers and vampires. She has a lot of sexy vampires in those books.
All right.
But speaking of werewolves that aren't bad guys or necessarily sexy, I mean, there are werewolf myths all over the world dating back thousands of years. But one of my favorites is one from Scotland, the Wolver. Wolver. Och, it's the Wolver.
Oh, he wolves quite often.
Mom, it's just me, Wolf. It's a Scottish wolf man. Didn't start out as a human, is just a different kind of creature. Like, I think they were said to have evolved from wolves. Mm. But it's like a sort of a man with the head of a wolf that...
Does he have the chance to change his fate?
Shut up. God damn it, you got me distracted. What if Brave was, like, her mom turned into a wolf instead?
I think it'd be very, very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Werebears isn't too far off.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like bears. And I like bear monsters. Anyway, the Wolver is a nice little guy who leaves fish on the windowsills of poor people.
Oh, nice.
You know, takes care of folks. He's just a nice guy who comes by in the night and makes sure everyone's getting some food.
This is an old folktale.
Yes, Ryan, it's not real.
So where's the tragic part?
Well, I don't know. Maybe like a milkmaid sleeps with someone and then he dies in a war and she's sad forever. And then the Wolver comes and gives her some fish or something. But as far as I can tell, this particular folktale doesn't have a sad part. It's just about a friendly little wolfman.
That's exceptional.
I know. And from Scotland, too. They're, like, usually kind of depressing about it.
To pause, take off my shirt. Ryan, I know you're editing this. You gotta take this part out. It's gonna be so embarrassing if you don't take this part out.
Strips down in the studio.
Stop it. We're not even on tape.
Sorry, we're in a very small box while we record this.
It's very warm in here.
Now, there's a horror story. Two people trapped in an incredibly small soundproof box. It's
like
awful.
An elevator?
This is smaller than an elevator. And also, it's sound like it's specifically insulated for sound.
I have seen elevators that were smaller.
You've seen elevators?
I've witnessed an elevator in real life, not just in pitches.
When elevators attack. That's the new deathbed, the bed that eats people, which I'm sure we can devote a future episode to.
Oh, my God.
Because, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite werewolves ever is Oz from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
Seth Green as a little baby boy. Actually, this will be the second week in a row that we talk about some media with Seth Green because he was in It.
Yeah, the Tim Curry It. He was really good as Richie.
He was really good.
I loved him in that. I had forgotten he was in that that one until we watched it again.
Yeah, yeah. In that one, he sort of looks like Seth Green's eyes looking out through the body of a tiny baby. Like,
okay.
He doesn't look, like, he looks undeniably like Seth Green, but he also looks nothing like Seth Green.
I think the shape. 12.
Yeah, but no, but the shape of his head fundamentally changed between being 12 in that and being.
Like, bald 18? In that one Austin Powers yeah. movie.
Well, he's only bald at the end.
I know.
But
oh, don't try and quiz me on Austin Powers.
I'm not going to. Don't worry. We'll save that for our Austin Powers fan cast. The pod who shagged me.
Jesus.
But in Buffy, he plays Oz, who is a werewolf.
He's short and little, and I love him.
He's little and lovely and gets very hairy. when that moon comes around. This was one of the first werewolves that I saw that really kind of hit you with the puberty metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
They're high school students and fighting evil. But what I really loved about it is it really humanized the good versus evil conflict. Now, this is something that Buffy plays with a lot. For those of you who don't know.
Why are you listening if you don't know Buffy?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a TV show that played in the 90s and early 2000s.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, babies.
Just a wonderful, wonderful show. Anthony Stewart Head is amazing.
Oh, we love him. Oh, we love Giles.
And they deal with a lot of high school themes and sort of butt them up against the supernatural. Really? And Oz is just a really great representation of that.
He's got a lot of pathos.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know I just said that if you haven't heard about Buffy, what are you doing with your life? But I actually never saw it until a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah, but remember I watched the whole thing through in like a couple weeks. And
yeah,
just,
you devoured it.
Oh, it's good. It's devourable. It's yeah, so cheesy it absolutely and wonderful.
Is. If you haven't seen it, just Google like a best episodes list.
No, start from the beginning.
No. Ugh. Every show, no matter how good, has to get its feet under it. For example, these people are listening to episode 2. Hopefully they're coming here from our future best episode.
Ugh, I can't stand not starting from the beginning and then going all the way through to the end. That's how I watch Buffy.
I always, if I think about it ahead of time, I usually start at the beginning. But every time that I've started at some point in the middle and then gone back to start it from the beginning, I haven't regretted it. It hasn't really ruined anything. Hmm. I think it's going to, but it never does.
Hmm. If you say so.
I'm just saying, like, some of the best shows and the best things in general, even movies, I've, like, walked into the room while someone else is watching it and been like, wow, the middle 30 minutes of this looks really good. I'm going to check it out on my own time.
Well, I guess that's fine, but I know you're only saying this about Buffy because you love the musical episode.
Well, that's one of the better ones. I am a big fan of musicals.
No kidding.
But
you're going to learn this about him.
Once More with Feeling is excellent. This is not our Buffy fan cast Fangs for the Memories.
You're welcome. TV buffs?
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Slayer mm-hmm. buffs.
Slayer buffs is really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could keep going.
There's probably a million Buffy fan casts out there.
It's a good show.
It is a real good show.
But we're talking about a mainly vampire-based show now when I love wolves. I love wolves, and I want to keep talking about werewolves.
Okay, then, talk about
werewolves. I know we haven't talked about a lot of dogs specifically as the monster. But here are some good dog and wolf classic movies if you're interested in getting some of those. There's obviously An American Werewolf in London.
That's a really good one.
Ginger Snaps, as I already mentioned. Probably the biggest werewolf as puberty one. The Wolfman, obviously. Silver Bullet, which is Stephen King. The Curse of the Werewolf, Van Helsing. Another one of those vampires go hand in hand with werewolves things. And of course there's the Underworld movies, which I'm not a huge fan of, but they're out there. And then there's about a billion more. But if you want to start, any of those would be a good jumping off point.
Hmm.
Although if you're not familiar with werewolves in general, I don't know where you've been, but they're everywhere, guys.
Not as everywhere as vampires.
Well, they should be.
I agree.
I'm team werewolf. Awoo!
I'm not going to woo to that.
Because you're team vampire.
Yeah, of course.
As far as dogs in horror go, that one touches on a pretty basic fear, which is just the human fear of a big predator coming at you and coming to get you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, basic stuff, basic psychology. It's like being scared of snakes or, you know, those really buff kangaroos.
Yes.
Those guys.
Sorry, I can't look at a kangaroo wanting to fight somebody without thinking about Kangaroo Jack.
No, there's a horror movie.
Oh my gosh, kept me up nights. Look at that 1,000-yard Kangaroo Jack stare.
Ryan's been traumatized. But dogs make sense, basically. I've been bitten by more dogs than I've been talked down to by rude customers because I work with dogs. And sometimes they'll bite you. So, you know, I get it. I've never been afraid of dogs myself because once you understand their psychology, they're fairly easy to deal with. But a lot of people are afraid of dogs. Maybe because they've never been around them. Maybe because they were attacked by a dog once. But maybe just because they saw a scary movie with a dog in it and that spooked
them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is funny because horror movies play off fears we already have and then they create possibly more fears, even in people who didn't already have those fears, and then they can make more horror movies about it. That might not always be the case, but I like to think that it's a big cycle of being scared. So to deviate from our wolf and dog theme for a moment, I sent out an ask on Tumblr to see what people's favorite monsters are. We got a couple of replies, and some of them were pretty interesting. User Ballad of Tarby, our buddy George, says the Smoking Man. And I wasn't sure if he meant the smoke monster from Lost, but then I realized he was talking about the man from the X-Files, which I think is a pretty legit favorite monster. User Star Lily Dance Capital says the Tarrasque. I had to look that one up, which is unusual. It's a cryptid based in France.
I've actually heard of that.
Yeah, it's sort of like a dragon with a turtle shell and a lion's head, I think. It's really interesting and very localized, but I think they made a D&D monster out of it and maybe a couple other things. User Feathers and Gumdrops says Gorgons. I agree, they're pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the usual joke is, do they have snakes for all of their hair? You know, lift up that armpit and you got some stinky snakes in there. I like the idea of like snake eyebrows and tiny little snake eyelashes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, I got a snake in my eye. Hang on a sec. And then last of all, user whatever Katie says the boogeyman.
Mm.
Now that's an classic. Interesting one. I know for a fact she hasn't seen the Bye Bye Man. Or the Babadook.
The Babadook.
I'm pretty sure those were both about the boogeyman, right?
Or some version
of the boogeyman?
I think the boogeyman has become sort of a catch-all term, which is kind of nice.
I enjoyed Terry Pratchett's boogeyman where they figured out a way to make it go away is because if you put your head under the blankets, you can't see the boogeyman and so the boogeyman can't see you. But if you put a blanket over its own head, it can't see itself and it's not sure if it exists or not.
So you defeat it by giving it an existential crisis?
Yeah!
Mm.
I love that! It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, but I think that's putting Descartes before the horse.
Ugh.
I want to thank a couple of people who left us lovely reviews on iTunes. First off, user Hillary Clinton hates my dad. Thank you very much. Especially appreciating the Pacific Northwest flavor. And I do want to do a focused episode.
Tastes like pine trees and coffee.
Pine trees and coffee. I guess it's not coffee out here.
Yeah, no.
Looking forward to doing a more Pacific Northwest focused episode.
Yeah, we're looking forward to doing the Seattle Haunted Underground Tour, which I haven't done since middle school. So I'm real excited to go back down in that stinky place.
I hope it's one of the ones that where they give you like a little EMF reader and like little tools. Because I know that the Portland one, they give you like the actual tools of the trade for ghost hunting and you go through. We'll have to do that. Bring the portable recorder and get some footage of that.
Yeah, some sound footage.
Some sound footage. It would still be footage because it's on tape. I mean, it's not anymore, but it's just as much footage.
I guess.
I also wanted to thank Judith Praline, who gave us another 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you very much. She says we are engaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because we're engaged.
Wait, no. You have to delete that one from the edit because what if people are only listening because they think we're sexy and available?
We are engaged in a podcast together.
Yeah.
We're in the process. But no, we're totally hot and totally
ladies,
single. And I'm going to get a soundboard. So every time we introduce ourselves, I'm going to be like, tss.
Hot Donna.
Hot Donna. But yeah, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We post once a week, every week. So you can subscribe to make sure that you get those updates.
We're and subscribe as a favor to us.
You know, we're fun and friendly folks. And podcasting really is the only joy that we have. On Twitter, we are at Bigfoot and Bob. You can also email us at bigfootandbob@gmail.com. If you have any questions, suggestions for later episodes,
tell us about your favorite monsters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about your favorite monsters. You know, tell us about maybe even any spooky experiences you've had or any spooky places you've been to.
Yeah.
Send us questions and stories and things so we can talk about them.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll get at you if you get back at us next week. And as always,
I'm Layla Vafaizadeh.
And I'm Ryan Brown.
The truth is in here. Filtering your tea through your mustache like a whale.
This is my Baleen.
I can't Baleen you said that.